The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Sequestered in a bunker somewhere in the heartland of America, I am Derek Gilbert.
Sequestered, are
yes.
we? Aha! Mm. Uh-huh. Sequestration! Evil Las Vegas! Yeah. Which is not where we are, so,
no. Ha. And you are.
Honey, if you don't know me by now, why, I'm Mrs. Sequestration.
Okay, well, so long as we got the introductions out of the way, welcome
to
PID
Radio. I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker. See, I'll say it.
I wasn't sure if I'd forgotten or you forgotten. This
was, I don't know. Who are you?
until longing for the day where they can increase the memory.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
but until then, we just use the electronic devices to supplement the external devices. And not
I just
those
stick a USB
glasses.
Drive in my ear.
That could explain the problem. Up my nose. And that could explain
that
the
That explains
the
that
migraines.
Migraine.
Yeah. Oh, well. Welcome. Today is March the 4th of 2013. And yes.
I'm glad it's not March the 3rd because that was yesterday. 3-3-13. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, we survived that. Without
we were sitting at church and we looked at each other and went, who?
Yeah.
3-3-13.
It's 33-13, yeah. And we paid it no mind. Just one of those kind of interesting things to kind of look at.
It and came just and went.
Eh, sneh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no big deal. Now, tomorrow, we may see an interesting 3 arriving, which is perhaps 3 to 5 inches of snow here in central Illinois.
I thought you meant 3 cardinals were going to stop by.
Well, you know, maybe that strange things.
3 cardinals, 2 marching drums.
Spring training is...
And a cub wishing that they could
play.
Win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're on the fourth day of the sequester, which is the name that was given to this the automatic... they're calling them budget cuts, but let's be real here, folks. It's not a budget cut that the United States government is... kind of talked itself into or not talked itself into. This was intended as a stick to get the opposite, the two major parties, the Republicans and Democrats, to agree to compromise on a package of budget cuts and revenue enhancers, read taxes, tax increases to cover the budget deficit. And these automatic budget reductions that kicked in are not actually cuts when you look at 2013 versus 2012, as far as we know, because the Senate
it's a
hasn't
reduction
actually
in the increase.
Yeah, as far as we know, because the United States Senate hasn't actually passed a budget since the first year of President Obama's administration, which is unconstitutional. I don't know how they've been getting away with this, but the American public.
What are we going to do? Yeah. I mean, seriously, they're getting away with it because what can we do?
Yeah.
We can't just storm Washington and say, dadnabbit, pass a budget.
Exactly.
We're going to, what
we'll
are we going to do? Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's not going to happen.
No, it isn't.
But the thing, you know, it's odd because, and I'm looking up the definition of the word here. I always thought sequester was a verb. I did not realize it was also a noun. Sequester meaning to hide away from the public. So hence the opening of the show. We're sequestered away in our bunker.
Yeah, but
here.
To hide away, that's a verb.
Right, right. But
a hideaway, you mean?
Yes, a sequester is a general cut in government spending, according to
the Reagan administration, which is when it started,
mm-hmm.
way back when Reagan. Sorry, I'll come in again. I don't know. It goes back to the Reagan administration. I linked to in my newsletter. I linked to a really handy dandy article at Mother Jones where they were explaining the whole sequestration. The history.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was a stick used back during the Reagan years, and it's been revived by the Obama administration to try to keep the Republicans in line. And mm-hmm. well, they said, we're not buying that. Forget that.
Republicans basically called the administration's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the administration tried to blame it on the Republicans. Republicans said, hello. And this was what the whole flap last week. I don't know if you pay any attention to American political theater, which is all it is. But Carl, not to Carl, Woodward.
The Punch and Judy show.
One of the Watergate reporters. It's Woodward and Bernstein. And I can't remember. Yeah. Woodward. Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward. I was going to say Carl. Carl was Bernstein. Bob Woodward got into a very public flap with the White House because of his claim that the Obama administration was essentially lying, like that's news, but about the sequestration. And as it turned out, it was, in fact, the idea of the Obama administration. But Woodward did, you know, twist a few other things in order to promote himself, like a reporter would ever do that.
Wow.
So anyway, what it boils down to is this. As Sharon said, the sequestration, and this is the thing that's really been galling us, as this has been reported for months and months and months, as this date has come closer, closer, closer. They kicked the can a couple of months down the road, because it was supposed to kick in at the end of 2012, if I remember correctly, or January 31st, I forget which. But they kicked the can down and it agreed to an emergency 60 or 90-day extension or whatever the deadline was. But March 1st was the new deadline, and they refused to come to a deal this time. But it's not budget cuts. And the government is telling us that, we can't let the USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier out of port because of the sequestration, the budget cuts. We've heard government workers saying that they're telling us we're going to have to take a massive pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to
have to lay off 800,000.
Yeah. Who was it? They're going to have to lay off 800,000 workers.
That
one government agency.
Chuck Hagel.
In the Defense Department. They've only got 795,000 employees.
756.
Okay.
That's according to their own numbers.
Well, yes. We're going to be so strapped for cash, we're going to have to lay off 50,000 from the Department of Energy.
No, we'll hire them and then we'll
lay them off. Yeah. So it is utterly ridiculous. I read a very good analogy here. What this sequestration is, it's just a reduction in the increase over last year's spending. We're still spending more money than we spent last year, just not quite as much as originally planned. This is like a drunk who did 20 shots of bourbon last night and planned to do 24 shots of bourbon tonight, but said, because, you know, I'm only going to do 22, so I'm really cutting back here. That's how you look at the situation the United States is in. We've still got a staggering drunk on our hands who's drunker than the year before, but he's trying to convince us that he's a paragon of virtue for cutting back on his intake.
And they've got a great ad agency. Sequestration. It's like somebody said, what can we use that will make really great sound bites?
Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to.
Like the fiscal cliff from last year.
Exactly. We survived that. We'll survive this, too.
So, look, worse things can happen to you. For instance,
yes,
you can be sleeping in your bedroom.
Oh,
and this
wow.
is a horrifying story from near Tampa, Florida. A young man, his family, I don't know if they were all living in the house because they always lived there, but he was not alone in the house. Only his bedroom was affected by a sinkhole that opened up, swallowed his entire bedroom. His brother, who was sleeping in another room, heard him screaming, heard Jeff Bush is the gentleman's, the victim's name.
Mm-hmm.
His brother, I think his name is Jeremy Bush, heard him screaming, went running into the room, saw his brother down a hole, the bed barely showing. His brother's voice, he could hear mm-hmm. it, hear his brother screaming, and he dove into the hole, yelled, call 911, and when the rescue people arrived, they said that they saw Jeremy Bush, the surviving brother, down in the hole trying to rescue his brother. I can only imagine, you know, what, I mean, Debbie has been staying with us off and on, and, mm-hmm. and if suddenly something were to happen to her, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff of horror films.
Yes.
When the chuds come up from below ground and swallow you. And this has been happening. We've seen stories like this over the last couple of years.
He left.
Sam says, I just can't handle this. This is
I don't
just
like this
scary.
Story.
This has been happening off and on over the last couple of years. And it's prone to happen in areas like Florida, where the geology is is a very limestone the earth is
it's like Swiss cheese underneath.
Right. You know, limestone is soft and prone to be eroded by underground water. And so these caves can open up relatively quickly and unexpectedly. We saw one about a year or so ago that was a big circular hole. And I can't remember if it was Mexico or Guatemala, but the hole was so circular, it almost looked like it had been done by a giant drilling tool of some sort.
Well, let me look. I think I have that image. Let me look and see.
And it looked like it had been photoshopped. And I started doing some looking online because when someone sent it to me, I said, no, that looks just too weird.
Guatemala City.
Guatemala
in 2010.
City. Okay.
Very good.
But there were other pictures that had been published by reputable news agencies that were taken from different angles. So you could tell that it was not photoshopped. So this sort of thing does periodically happen. And this tragedy just, if nothing else, at least serves to remind us that none of us is guaranteed another day. You know, you don't know whether tomorrow is the day you... You failed to pay attention behind the wheel at the wrong moment.
You
step out in front of a bus.
You assume when you go to bed at night that you're going to be safe in your bedroom.
Yeah. At least here, most of us in America. I mean, there are parts of the world where that's not even a guarantee for many people. But
you know what? The truth is that no matter how safe you think you are, no matter how safe your neighborhood is, if the Lord says your time is up, your time is up.
And you need to be prepared.
Yes.
Don't wait until the last minute. That was one of the interesting things that was a regular practice by the time of the late Roman Empire, 3rd, 4th century. At that time, they were teaching that, or at least it was popularly believed. I don't know if this was a official doctrine. There really wasn't a single unified Christian church in that time. I mean, you didn't, in other words, have the monolithic Church of Rome by the time of Emperor Constantine, but he waited until hours before he died to be baptized. The belief was that baptism washed away your sins, and so you wanted to wait as long as possible, as close as possible to your death, so you could go into the next life with a white sheet. You know, an empty ledger, have all your sins washed away.
That makes no sense.
I know. This is not a scriptural teaching, and I don't know where that teaching entered into popular Christian belief, but there were many people back in that day who waited until they were pretty sure it was the end before calling a priest and being baptized.
That assumes that you're able to call a priest and get baptized, doesn't it?
That's my point.
Yep. I knew you had a wonderful point there.
Yeah. So don't wait. Make that decision for Christ. No decision
Amen.
Is
make
a
it
decision.
Today.
Right. Well,
I just want to say something before I forget, because I'm checking my email here. And if you follow me on Facebook, if you pay any attention to the things that I post to my wall, and if you don't, that's fine. I totally understand. That wall is so cluttered the way Facebook has it now. It's really difficult to get to the people you're trying to follow the most. And if I'm not up there, that's fine with me. I understand. Totally. But I did make it a point to ask for prayer this morning for a couple of people. One is my niece, Liz, who's having some procedures this week. But another was for Sue Bradley. And I think many of you have been listening to us from the very beginning.
Yes.
You know Sue Bradley. We've talked about her many, many times. She is a contributor to PID News. We've had articles at PID Radio. I've had articles at my website by Sue Bradley. I think they're still there. If you do a search for Sue Bradley at my site, I think you're going to find her stuff. She's very, very ill. And I just got the latest. Apparently, she's been in the hospital for several days. She's very fragile health-wise anyway. Her husband, Pat, says that she's on a couple of antibiotics, which she has a tough time taking anyway. But she's so ill. She has pneumonia and some other things going on. They have put her, they're keeping her on a ventilator, but she doesn't want to be on a ventilator. So pray for her husband, Pat Bradley, because he may be asked to make some tough decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Sue wrote on a piece of paper, please no ventilator. So, she's that ill. So please pray for her. You know, pray for complete healing. But if, you know, the Lord has exactly the right plan for Sue Bradley and for Pat and for her son, who's also named Patrick. You know what? Just keep them in your prayers, please.
I just did a quick search for Sue Bradley and found a website, SueBradleyArchives.com. Is that to...
You know what? She may have... I know she's had a website of her own that she put up a couple of years ago to try to keep track of her articles, because she has written some of the most interesting articles over the years. And she does this amazing research. She's a journalist from way back. She's written for many prestigious papers back east. She, I think she lived in Washington, D.C. for a while. She's well known in journalistic circles. And boy, when she writes, she writes. In fact, Chris Putnam was corresponding with her, I think, over the last few months, off and on, for his book. And I asked him, you know, next time you chat with Sue, tell her I said hi, because I hadn't heard her, hadn't heard from her for a while. And he said she suddenly went quiet. Well, this is why.
Yeah, this is the website. I'll put a link to this in the show notes at PIDradio.com, SueBradleyArchives.com. Some real mind-stretching stuff that she has written over the years and really pieced together some stuff. You want to get into some deep politics or crypto politics, this is where, you know, she is...
She makes connections that just always used to floor me. She would call me every once in a while and she would say, have you ever asked yourself about this, or have you ever thought about this? And this is a gal who has an immense brain. I mean, she's so smart. And yet she would keep all of these little sticky notes all over the place. And she would just sit there and read through the sticky notes that she'd made since the last time we talked. And I would just hang up and go, wow, wish I'd recorded that.
Yeah, she's got some really interesting stuff. She did a five-part series on the secrets of the Black Awakening, which is what Russ Dizdar has been writing and talking about for years. And right, she started a series on Petrus Romanus with Chris Putnam here recently. So yeah, a lot of interesting things. And an article connecting... 2012 Mayan connection, Pittsburgh and 1,000 points of light. We were talking about Pittsburgh earlier today for some reason.
Yeah, she was talking to me about that because Pittsburgh is at the junction of three rivers, and she was telling me the history of the occult meaning behind that. So that's going to be an article I'll probably read this week as well.
So some good stuff there. Some other stuff that people have been pretty excited about the last couple of weeks, at least until it hit the airwaves, is that new series, the Bible miniseries on the History Channel, which debuted last night. We haven't watched it, and we won't be able to watch it live because we cut the cable. But I've seen some comments, both pro and con, on this. And so if you did watch it, but we'd just...
Did they bring on Heiser or anyone we know?
No, it was... I'll read some of the consultants who were part of this production. Roma Downey, who's the actress who was on Touched by an Angel, is one of the producers of this series. And she's Roman Catholic, which kind of colors her perception of the story. It is a docudrama based on the stories in the Bible, so it's not going to be...
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's not going to be verse by verse translation to the screen. And then Mark Burnett, who I'm not familiar with, is the other producer here along with Roma Downey. But the team that advised them in the writing and filming included Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, Erwin McManus, Sam Rodriguez, who's the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and also a member of the the Apostolic
Reformation?
Yeah, the new Apostolic Reformation, but there's a group, the Apostolic Council of Elders or something that...
let me look it up. What's his name again?
Samuel Rodriguez. And there are some others that I'm not familiar with. But, you know, they obviously went for some name power there with Pastors Warren and Osteen, and Rodriguez as well, who is... who's been invited to the White House at least once that I know of, and is influential because of the numbers in the within that are under the umbrella of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, but also again his connection to the new Apostolic Reformation and C. Peter Wagner. So, there is one scene that's referred to in an article that I read earlier, which, again, I don't know how typical this is.
The International Coalition of Apostles?
Yes, the International Coalition of Apostles. That's it. It's sort of like a downline network for apostles. You've got the chief apostle at the top of the pyramid, and then, you know, apostles in each have their own individual network of sub-apostles, I guess.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, exactly, in more ways than one. There's seen, according to the writer of this article, who was a fellow writing at the Christian Research Network online, a fellow named Mike Ratliff, said that the scene that sealed his opinion of the Bible miniseries was in Peter's boat after Jesus had him catch all those fish after he'd fished all night and caught nothing. The stuff that went on in that scene is found nowhere in Scripture. Instead of Peter saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," Peter asks Jesus what he's going to do if he follows him, and Jesus replies, "Change the world." The actual passage from Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." So a little bit different than, you know, change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... But again, it's a
docudrama. Which, of course, Christianity has, but, yep. You know, that's taking a little bit of a liberty.
But let us hope that people watching this may be interested enough and intrigued enough by what they see happening to be pulled into, to be given a desire to actually read the Bible.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't expect that something that is that makes it through the filter and onto a major television network, which the History Channel is going to accurately represent what's inside the Bible. We just shouldn't expect that. Maybe getting our hopes up too much. But if we lower our expectations and just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work on people who need to see it and would entice them, encourage them, and implant in them a desire to read the Word and see what's really in there. Then maybe this will do more good than harm.
I was just thinking, just trying to imagine if Jesus had chosen now to come instead of back during, you know, the early days of the first century. Would he be on Fox News? Would he be on a game show?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not that he would agree to appear, but I mean, maybe he would. Trying to think outside the box, how would Jesus use television?
That's a good question.
If he were alive today.
You know, he seemed to be at his gentlest and
kindest when he was speaking to someone who was downtrodden.
The downtrodden or you know, those who were openly scorned as sinful, like the woman at the well in Samaria. You've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. But he did not condemn her, or you know, he told the crowd that was ready to stone the adulteress, you know, if you're without sin, you get to throw the first stone. Okay, but then of course he also said, you know, go and sin no more. You know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He didn't shy away from the sin and salvation and repent from sin portion of his message, but it seemed that when he was at his most strident and forceful was when he had the audience, the biggest crowds, and especially the crowds of the influential and well-to-do, those who thought they were already set and had it made, that they were already in and tight with God. Oh yeah, Yahweh, yeah, me and him are buds. Jesus made it clear that those were the people who really needed to hear the message, mm-hmm. Repent and sin no more.
He was pretty fiery with the Pharisees. He didn't like the way that they were dealing with the people at all.
Mm-hmm. Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah. Essentially the leaders of the church of their day, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Yeah. So, it is interesting that we all, to some extent, project onto our the image that we have of Jesus in our minds, mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that we would like to see. And there are certain people who would like to see him as a gentle, you know, always gentle, always loving, never condemning. You know, everyone is okay because I am love and I love all. Well, yes, he is. I mean, love comes from God. All love is from God. But he is not going to tolerate rebellion and sin forever. As we're told in Scripture that when he comes back, he's at the head of an army. And that's when the gloves come off. There are others who want to see, well, going all the way back to 4th century Constantine. Oh, yeah, in this sign conquer. Yeah, okay. That means I get to take my army and go wipe out and become the emperor.
Yeah.
I disagree with your police work there, Lou. So, yeah, and that's been true throughout history, you know, wanting to project onto, and we just have to keep going back, refer back to the Word. If you have any questions, any doubts, any, and probably good for all of us to just, as a refresher, keep going back to the Word and see what he actually said. And then if we're in disagreement with what's in there, then we need to change. We don't need to redefine him.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so, well said, anyway. Honey.
Well, as long as we're talking about biblical stuff, it's perhaps timely that as Passover approaches, Egypt is suffering a rather disastrous plague of locusts.
Oh, I missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me see if I can find a locust story. Let's see, locusts.
Yeah, 30 million swarming over Egypt's cities and farms just 3 weeks before the beginning of Passover.
Oh, my gosh, I see it.
Now, this happens every year as the locusts naturally migrate, but for some reason, this year's swarm is especially large. So, yeah. So far, Egyptian officials are telling the public that their crops are safe. And you know, there's a picture here. I'm looking at the Atlantic Wire, theatlanticwire.com. A picture taken from Cairo toward the Giza Plateau. And you can see the Great Pyramid in the distance, but the air in between the camera lens and the pyramid off in the distance looks like a sandstorm because of so many flying bugs.
Yeah, oh, I see that. Good heavens.
And we thought the cicadas last year.
That's exactly what I thought of when I saw it. I thought, cicadas!
Let's see. Maybe we can get a little audio here. The 30 million locust swarm. Is this, I don't know if there's going to be any talking in the story, if they're just going to be, well, the video,
well, you know what? If we
so,
find the video, we'll put that in here. So
yeah.
If you hear locusts, then we found it.
Yeah. So anyway, just one of those things that kind of strikes you as just a little odd as we talk about apocalyptic things, sinkholes opening and swallowing the earth, swarms of locusts.
The final pope coming to. The
final pope coming, yes.
Well, you know what? They started meeting today. The cardinals met in the College of Cardinals, 115. All those who are under the age of 80 are allowed to vote. So about 115 of them are meeting in Rome even now, trying to decide how they're going to do it and probably making the list of possible candidates. Clearly, the cardinal in the United Kingdom is not going to be there because he has had to step down.
Yes, the one who very delicately said my conduct, referring to his sexual activities, have fallen below the standard required for someone in his position,
mm-hmm.
which is a very nice way, very politically correct way, I suppose, of saying that he's been accused of some very inappropriate behavior with...
Don't you think the timing on that is really curious? I mean, right as the Pope is announcing he's going to retire, which is the first time in 600 years that's happened,
mm-hmm.
Suddenly there's an opening. Was it possible that the UK Cardinal was going to have a shot?
I don't recall.
Or was he going to make trouble? I mean, was there some reason why politically behind the scenes someone said, get him out now before he comes to Rome? I don't know.
I do not know.
Seemed like an odd coincidence.
Yeah. And you know, what was the story that was out? The cardinal who is essentially running the Vatican.
Oh, Bernanke. Is it Barone?
Who basically has wiretapped the
Bertone?
I think that's it.
Bertoli? How about some of that pasta today?
Let's see. Looking it up here. Or is it Tarcisio?
Bertone.
Yeah. Okay. Tarcisio
Bertone.
Yeah. Who has wiretapped the phones at the Vatican to try to get a handle on any leaks that might come out during the deliberations over the next pope. But when you read the article, you read the articles about this, and you see that no, this isn't some new policy. He's had the phones of the Vatican wiretapped for the last year.
He has, but he especially tapped everything else because now he has access to the inside inner sanctum because he's the what would you call him?
Chamberlain,
the interregnum pope. I mean, he's
or Secretary of State. He's the Secretary of State, but yeah, he's essentially
he's running the Vatican now. He's the temporary pope, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the while
pope.
He's
pro tem?
I guess. Yeah. Sounds good to me. Yeah. So while he is in there, he's had all of the inside offices tapped.
Hmm. Interesting.
So nobody gets to talk.
It's odd, but well.
Well, that's politics.
It's politics, sadly. And I'm sure that anyone who's been involved in any denomination that has a hierarchy where you have a any kind of body that has to meet and vote on things. Being human, politics enters into it.
Why, even in a family, one might encounter politics.
Yeah. We heard some of that from a friend of ours in another denomination about some of the stuff that went on at national gatherings. So it it's not unique to Roman Catholicism. But certainly not what the Lord had hoped for when he first revealed himself to us. When he revealed us, that was like right at the beginning, Derek. Okay, go back and read Genesis 1 later tonight.
Oh, honey, I love you.
So, speaking of surveillance, the word is out, CNET is reporting that drones, predator drones, which we had assumed were only being deployed overseas, or at least originally had been intended for deployment overseas to spy on enemy, positions and so forth and report back to military spotters, we're now finding out that they were built from the get-go to carry out surveillance tasks here over the United States.
What?
Yes, predator drones are requiring now required by Homeland Security, which is ordering a bunch of these to identify a standing human being at night and determine whether that person is likely armed or not, meaning carrying a shotgun or rifle. And they also specify the drones be equipped with signals interception technology that can capture communications in frequency ranges used by mobile phones. And direction-finding technology that can identify the locations of mobile devices or two-way radios. The Electronic Privacy Information Center obtained a partially redacted copy of Homeland Security's requirements for its drone fleet through the Freedom of Information Act. And, basically, it's they have confirmed that the United States government is now prepared to carry out surveillance from the skies on you and me.
Well, I don't know if we discussed this on PID Radio, but I know I talked to you about it. Do you remember the new technology that I talked with you about a man who said that he had gotten permission, the inventor, had gotten permission to reveal it to the public, that there was now a capability to take a citywide shot of everything that was going on with one
camera.
It's actually thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of cameras.
Oh, I see.
He's using the cameras in our cell phones because he was tasked with the idea of doing this. The government wanted a drone that was capable of essentially spying on an entire city with live feeds, and that you would have in front of you a huge computer screen with multiple windows open, so you could see it like a movie. So you could see, okay, I see what's going on over here on the west side and the east side, see what's going on downtown, and then there's this lady at this ATM, then there's a guy getting the car, blah, blah, blah. And he was puzzling and wondering, how can I possibly do this with a budget they told me they want, DARPA being I think it's the agency that hired him. He finally figured out that if he just put a whole lot of cameras on board that were just like the little cameras in our iPhones.
Cheapy little cameras. Right.
And just had them constantly taking images of just their little area.
Mm-hmm.
That there's this tiled sort of mosaic of an entire city that can be snapshotted at this. And it allows you to zoom in on a 1 foot square area.
It's a pretty good little camera.
That's a pretty darn good little camera. So imagine those in the skies over our country. It's suddenly Minority Report and shows like it.
Eagle Eye,
all of these movies that we've been watching for the last 10 years, they're all suddenly becoming real.
Hmm.
And by the way, with the drones that are going to be deployed here in the U.S., I don't know if this base in Florida is going to be used for this, but isn't there a base that's being built in, is it Miami or Tampa or one of the spring break haven getaway spots? That's where the new drone base is being built.
At least, you know, as far as in the United States, we've also signed a deal with the country Niger to set up a drone base in Africa. But according to Danger Room, and this is not a new story, this is from last summer. Danger Room, which is a column or blog at Wired.com, which tracks military developments and technology and things, they were reporting last June that there were 64 drone bases on U.S. soil. So it's not just one drone base. We've got dozens.
Lots. There's one in Saudi Arabia. Huh. CIA drone base in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but they wanted some on the west side. Niger is close to the trouble spot in Mali.
Mali?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. And, of course, that is where we're also assisting the French with refueling their planes and conducting surveillance for the French.
Well, it was just announced. What was the name of the Al-Qaeda terrorist of the day who was killed over in Mali?
Mokhtar Belmokhtar. Yeah, Belmokhtar.
Is it Bell? I thought it was Ben.
No, Mokhtar Belmokhtar. He was sort of the rock star of the Al-Qaeda movement in Mali, and it was the armed forces of Chad that said that they had
assisting,
taken down.
Yeah, assisting the French.
Right.
But Chad was sort of trumpeting it in their country, understandably.
Yeah. it just occurred to me. It's like, gee, what could possibly go wrong with the United States assisting the French in a police action in a small foreign nation? What could possibly go wrong? It was
the first twist is never get involved in a land war
in Asia. That's right. For those who don't recall history, in the 1950s, Vietnam was French Indochina. Okay, that tells you what you need
and
to know.
And all we did was send in advisors.
I'm looking here. The Danger Room posted a PDF copy of an Air Force presentation, which shows all of the Air Force drone bases, current and future, in the United States. And they're all over the place. And what does the one with the little star on it mean? Is that a really
maybe
super?
Maybe it's the
Capitol. That's an Army base. Okay. Fort Leonard Wood, probably. Fort Campbell in Kentucky, Fort Knox in Kentucky, Camp Atterbury, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So we got drones to the south and east of us. Fort Riley in Kansas.
Good old Fort Riley.
Yeah. Where
the Spanish flu began.
Yep. According to some, that is where that began. So anyway, this is an interesting thing, but probably not a surprise. It's just being rolled out by increments, and most of our friends and neighbors aren't really paying attention. as you we said many times, and we're not rolling out this information to go down the path of hole up with your guns and ammo and your freeze dried foods. Just be aware that. As we go forward from here, it's probably not going to get better. That we will probably be under ever more surveillance by the government, and we're just going to have to accept that this is what it is. There may come a time when according to scripture, prophecy, there will come a time when things are going to get really bad for those who openly profess to believe in Jesus Christ. But this world is not our home; we're just passing through.
So, exactly. Yeah. I was about to say, oh, I know what it was. The drones aren't always big. Sometimes they're a little bitty.
Yes.
And like mosquito-sized.
Right. And that was one of the things that I thought was really creepy when I watched and read the novel Dune and then watched the movie with the hunter-seekers that were they were sent to assassinate Paul Atreides. And it was basically a mechanized assassin about the size of a dragonfly. And we probably will see things like that showing up soon. Well, gosh,
they're probably out there now.
They probably
we thought they were cicadas.
They probably have college engineering students working on this as a graduate.
Nudge nudge, wink wink.
And by the way, the Department of Homeland Security has in addition to the 1.6 billion bullets that they've purchased here over the last year, they've also purchased about 2,700 mine-resistant armor-protected vehicles, or MRAPs. In other words, lightly armored tanks. Yeah.
What? For the United States?
Homeland Security, yeah. Now, it doesn't look like a tank. I mean, it's not a tread. It's not a vehicle that runs on tracks like a tank. It's got, really big tires. But it is a big, honking vehicle that looks, it's just a lot of metal and sharp angles and gun ports. So the kind of thing where you probably wouldn't want to take it into a battle against an enemy that was shooting at you with heavy weaponry. But if you needed to go into a neighborhood and put down an uprising of people armed with handguns, it would probably do the job.
You want me to help?
So 2,700 of them, MRAPs, coming soon to a neighborhood near you from the Department of Homeland Security. This according to the Gateway Pundit blogger, who is reposting something from the Modern Survival blog.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been behind the scenes. I'm still trying to find more about this. I know I read an article the other day talking about a drone base going in a Florida town that was... And the only thing I can find is... I wonder if the story's been taken down now. Because there's another story that I keep finding saying, should we be revealing all the locations of these drone bases? Ventura County, maybe? Anyway, it was a naval base, maybe? Well, I'll come back. I'll come back to it later.
Oh, Navy proposes drone operations base in California at Ventura County. Yeah, the naval base Ventura County.
No, it was Florida, and it was a spring break location, and they were talking about how the poor geeks operating the joysticks would, they'd have to go out and surf and this and that. I'm pretty sure it was, the naval base has been proposed for Ventura, but I can't find. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. I thought I had put it in my little pocket.
Oh, yes, your online
pocket,
storage
get
thing.
Pocket,
yeah.
I thought it was there, but I haven't found it.
No, I use Evernote.
I know. That was hacked.
That's true. That's right. I had to change my passwords. So anyway, well, that's what I got. Just kind of an odd story just to pass along. Many of the stories that we've heard of wannabe terrorists or gunmen, who's plot to do something deadly was foiled by, alert passengers on a plane, like the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber. They were not stopped by Homeland Security or the Transportation Safety Administration, but alert passengers. There's a story from Florida about a student at Cypress Lake High School who, on a school bus, wrestled a handgun, away from another student. This other student had pointed the gun at a fellow student, This young man stripped the gun from the other kid, and for intervening, he, in preventing perhaps a kid from being shot point blank range, he's been suspended for 3 days. Yeah. He was suspended for being part of an incident where a weapon was present and given an emergency suspension.
There was a little girl who was called a terrorist. I think a 5-year-old girl who had a little water pistol or something like that. I'm not crazy.
I see. Navy building a shiny drone base in sunny Malibu. Malibu, yeah, that's California.
Oh, is it California?
Yeah, Ventura County.
What do I know?
Well, we don't run.
They were just talking about a spring break. Okay. Do you think it's the USB drive in my ear? Do you think that's it? If I put it in the other ear, do you think it would work better?
I don't know. You need an adapter for that.
I hate those.
It's a micro USB adapter. Anyway.
The Point Mugu base. As in Mugu Gaipan?
Is that the Navy drone is called the Triton? I guess it's for marine surveillance. They keep tabs on those sharks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, speaking of sharks, great white shark has been what do they call it? A protected species in California. So next time a great white shark munches down on your leg.
By law, you are only allowed to say, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Gosh. Speaking of beasts, this story, I got to find the original here. I'm still at my little pocket account. The Beast of Tenby. Have you seen this?
No.
The mysterious creature found on the UK beach, experts weigh in. Seriously, what on earth is this? The article begins. Dubbed the Beast of Tenby. And the beast from the east, it looks like it's part horse, part bear, part who knows what. It's a strange-looking carcass. I'm going to turn my computer around so Derek can see the image that I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody said, I think it's a badger.
No.
No, not even close.
You're right. It does have a head somewhat shaped like a horse, but with fangs.
And the paws, so to speak, do look almost like they have pads on them like a bear's, and they have claws like a bear's.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah. What is this?
I don't know if it's similar to you. I don't know if I can remember exactly what the Montauk beast, is that what they were calling it? That washed up a couple of years ago.
There have been pictures of similar things that have popped up from Mexico and elsewhere. This Tenby, by the way, is in South Wales, so it's our we have to have at least one reference to Wales in the show for yes. Our good friend Dean. spokesman.
It's in California, isn't it?
Florida.
Oh yeah, here's the Montauk monster. That's from 2009, I think.
Right. Okay. Almost a similar look, but the head doesn't appear to be as long.
Right.
Yeah. This beast found in South Wales is essentially hairless.
Which may be a part of its decomposition.
Yeah, but they said it's, meter long. So about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Longer than a dachshund. About the size of a medium-sized dog.
Bigger than a badger.
But a spokesman said that it's a Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, gosh. That was a good one.
Yeah.
It looks nothing like a Jack Russell Terrier.
No. So anyway, yeah.
We'll just link to this, so if you want to see the picture, it's...
cryptids that pops up every now and again. It just goes to show that there is just a lot that we don't know right here on planet Earth. We like to fancy that we have things pretty well under control, and we've got a pretty good handle on what happens here on planet Earth, but and not even in the, you know, I'm not even talking about the deep pockets of the ocean or you know, the frozen wastes of the Arctic and Antarctic. I mean, there are just weird things happening right here in the good old U.S. of A. that we can't even handle. For example, why people watch Honey Boo Boo.
Gosh, I have never seen that show. I never want to see that show.
Well, I guess it's the same appeal that the Jerry Springer show used to have.
I guess. This next article is just another, isn't this an interesting meme commentary? Jerusalem is preparing an Obama ice sculpture, an image of the president in Jerusalem.
That's interesting.
An image of the president in Jerusalem. Yeah.
And meanwhile, you know, and I don't know when this happened, but did you know that Al Sharpton, who now has a daily talk show on MSNBC, actually had a very serious discussion on air at some point? And this may have been last fall, but I didn't read about this until later. Don't watch MSNBC. Frankly, could care less what Al Sharpton thinks about anything. He actually had a serious discussion on his program over whether President Obama's likeness should be added to Mount Rushmore or whether he should just get a monument of his own. Like, do we get a third choice?
I mean, how about neither?
Yeah, none of the above. But
an ice sculpture is okay because it does melt.
Right. Oh, anyway.
Can we sequester that ice sculpture?
There we go. Preferably someplace warm.
Did we talk about the Stuxnet virus?
No.
Well, you know, the super people who figure out these computer viruses, viri, that and where they begin and how to fix them, they amaze me. These wonderful people at Symantec and other organizations that figured out back in the day, in 2010, I think it was, when the original Stuxnet virus was discovered, and it was had infected the Iranian centrifuge. Thank you. So that they didn't turn at the exact right speed, which made it theoretically impossible for them to refine uranium, enrich it. I mean. They've now discovered that actually there was an earlier version of this back in 2007, and that 0.5 version of the virus, which they only recently discovered, it actually controlled the valves in the centrifuges so that pressure would build up inside the centrifuges.
Oh.
And why it was essentially scrapped, they're not really sure, but it has shown up in the wild somewhere. So, you know, many of the aspects of the codes within these viruses that, according to the article I've read, and I read there's a PDF paper that was Symantec released talking about it, and I went through that. They were saying it was somewhere in Florida or California when it one of those viruses. No, seriously. They said that if the virus found that it was connected to the internet, the malware communicated with four command and control servers hosted in the United States, Canada, France, and Thailand. The domains for the servers were smartclick.org, bestadvertising.net, internetadvertisingforyou.com, and admarketing.net. All of the domains are now down or registered to new parties, but during the time the attackers used them, they had the same homepage design, which made them appear to belong to an internet advertising firm called Media Suffix. A tagline on the homepage read, "Deliver what the mind can dream."
And no doubt a front for the an intelligence.
It was a front page, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it was, and I just found that so interesting. We'll put a link to this story, but you know, if you have some time and you're really bored and you want something to put you to sleep, the PDF, the white paper that was the report of the entire event, that's a pretty interesting read.
Well,
and that's all I have to say.
Well, that's all we've got. Yeah, we're just kind of watching the skies off to the west, and you know, maybe Hey, good heavy snowfall. Give us some time to, you know, hunker down here and work some more on our presentations for Chicago Summit 3.
It's coming up pretty quickly.
Yes, it is. April 5, 6, and 7 at the Wyndham Lyle, which is just southwest of Chicago. It's pretty reasonably priced, $40 per person, $60 per couple. But the lineup of speakers, besides Russ and Shelley Dizdar, include L.A. Marzulli, Doug Woodward, Doug Hamp, Rob Skiba, Tom Dunn of Project the Josiah Project, and then, of course, the two of us.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll be standing in the back drinking water and saying, boy, those guys are smart.
Exactly.
Did you do your report? I don't know. Did you?
Sam.
I'll be the
report.
One with the USB drive in my ear.
And me with the one in my nose. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, I think. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.